Welcome to the Midday for a Tuesday. I'm Norman.
And I'm Stephanie. And we are in Buck Studio.
We have company today. Welcome.
We are live with 19-year-old Sejun Park. He was born in Seoul, Korea, and began piano studies at the advanced age of 6. His early accomplishments include an orchestral debut with the Busan Philharmonic Orchestra in Korea at age 10. He then moved to the U.S. in 2001, studied with Mikhail Volchok at the Levine School of Music, and is currently a student at the Peabody Conservatory. Not only that, but he's won a ton of prizes, including first place at Piano Arts National Competition, which is taking place this week in Milwaukee, Oberlin Conservatory International Piano Competition, Eastman Piano Competition, Southeastern Piano Concerto Competition, and Aspen, and on, also received a Jack Kent Cook Scholarship and appeared on From the Top on NPR.
Was that all?
The age of 19. Welcome to the Midday, Sejun.
Thank you.
Well, actually, Stephanie said, maybe or maybe not facetiously, you started at the ripe old age of 6. I guess for some pianists, that is a little bit late in life.
Yes, these days.
Why did you start taking piano lessons? Whose idea was that?
It's my parents' ideas. And, you know, if you look at a lot of, you know, famous musicians, they say I loved my instrument. And ever since I was a baby, I stepped up to it and I played. But that was not for my case. And every time I tell the story, I sometimes get this disappointing looks. But I didn't like piano from when I first started. But my parents told me, you know, you can, if you get to practice 30 minutes every day, by the end you can have a Hershey's chocolate or something like that. So that made me practice. So that's
Chocolate's
how I got
a great
to start.
Motivator.
Yes, but and that's how I got to play music. And it was a very gradual process, but I began to like it more and more and more. And now I'm in complete love with the instrument, so yes.
Now, why did they want you to play the piano so badly?
Because they didn't want me to play it so badly. They simply wanted me to play some instrument because they're both cellists, and they wanted me to be comfortable with music. So they didn't really actively try to make me as a pianist. They just wanted me to play, you know, nicely here and there. But
are they both working cellists now?
Yes. Well, right now they're done, so mm-hmm. I'm taking the time off.
Do you ever play with them?
My father passed away when I was 7th grade, and then my mother's, she still plays here and there, so, you know, I got to play Swan, you know, this beautiful sing-song piece
yes.
when I went back, just for fun, and, you know, it was nice, so.
Do you remember some of those early pieces that you played?
I do have a memory, but, you know, if you ask me to play that right now, I'll be scared to, though.
Well, today is Robert Schumann's 200th birthday,
yes,
so
yes.
Before we get too far into the proceedings, we should probably see if you have some Schumann in your repertory.
Sure. I'll play the Arabesque, which is a beautiful piece, and I play this piece almost like a cleanup, you know, like a hygiene purpose, because the harmony is very simple, but it's very beautiful. So after, you know, all this crazy music, this is very nice to play. So, yes.
Thank you.
The Arabesque in C by Robert Schumann. Sounds as if those piano lessons paid off.
Hopefully.
It's a piece that you just want to bask in the afterglow of. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
Lovely.
When you have the luxury that, I mean, a lot of earlier students wouldn't have, but of course most professionals would have this luxury of having the piece in their head.
Uh-huh.
What about concentration? What are you thinking about when you play a piece like that? It's so full of moods.
I can't help but the fact that, especially in live performances, I can't help that, and, you know, it's sometimes so simply written that if you miss something, it's so visible. So you can't help the fact that you're nervous, but I try to just ignore that part almost and try to just convey those. This music is not only simple, but it has very Schumann characteristic, you know, very sometimes very philosophical, and but sometimes just very, just, you know,
outgoing, just,
yeah,
almost
outgoing.
Like a party goer.
Yeah, yes, but just very sweet. So I try to think about these things, and I try to think, you know, what can I do in that moment that I could, you know, maybe make it more special than I could. So, yes, that's what I think about.
That sounds like a good thing to think about.
It's a good plan. So.
You're here because you're participating. Well, you actually performed earlier this week in Milwaukee as part of the piano arts competition.
Yes, I have.
This is a different kind of competition in that for those participants and winners, you get a little bit beyond just the accolades of winning. You get actually some coaching in performance and in speaking to the public.
Yes,
can you tell us a little bit about that?
No, what happens is after that, after we win, we have to go to high schools in Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, and we need to present to kids about music. You know, we can literally talk about anything about music, but, you know, our job is to make music interesting. So I never done this in my life, and when I was in high school student, you know, when I was looking at teachers and they would talk to students and I'd say, oh, you know, everyone can do that. I bet I could do that myself. And then, but then time came when I actually had to do that myself to talk to these kids about music, and I was so nervous, and so I did get a training on how to, you know, as a little training on how to talk to people. And so we are trained not only to play, but we're trained to talk about it, which I think is very important. Because I say this almost every recital I play now, but it's like going to a restaurant. Let's say that you go to a restaurant, and then they serve you food without giving you a menu, but they just give you food straight away. I mean, even though you might like the food, how, if you don't know what it is, how would you really truly appreciate it if you don't know what's in it? And the same idea for music. If it's beautiful and all, but if people don't know what you are trying to say to them, if they don't know, then how will they truly, I mean, there are some cases they understand, but how will they exactly know? So, yes, so piano arts makes us to do these things where we are truly communicating with the audience.
It's a great analogy, the menu and food.
Well, all right, we can maybe continue that metaphor and say, what sort of food do you find yourself drawn to in musical terms?
Musical terms?
Yeah.
Really? That's a very hard question. I've never got that question before.
Well, I mean, you play romantic music so beautifully in the case of Schumann. Is that your strong suit, do you think?
Well, you know, I'm still a student, and I don't think I'm still mature enough to really choose which one I'm suited to. I think I'm trying to expose myself to, you know, just the vast area of music, and maybe later in my life I will, you know, choose. But for now, I really don't have one. I try to understand each composer as, you know, as best as abilities I can, and that's what I do. Yes.
How about something by Schubert?
Schubert?
Speaking of romantics.
Sure. His sonata? Yes. Thank you.
one of the Schubert piano sonatas. Which one would that be?
It's the Little A Major Sonata. He wrote two sonatas in A major, and this one is referred as little because it's shorter than the other. But you know, I think it's equally difficult.
Yeah, not so little in the left hand there for a while.
Nope, not so little.
And that all the time, it being Schubert in particular, it has to sing that melody.
Yes,
that keeps coming back. If you are practicing a piece or just playing it in private, would you tend to play it differently, do you think, than if you were playing it in competition? Would you be more inclined to think, well, this piece is mine if I'm the only one here and I can sort of be free in my interpretation?
Well, we can't be completely free. It has to be within the, you know, the rules, and, you know, it has to make sense in a way. But I think, especially when you go to competitions, I mean, you're there to present yourself. You're not there to please people. So, I mean, even though it's very easy to start worrying about, oh my gosh, you know, what are the judges going to say if I do this and that? But it definitely worries. But I try to just stick to what I do every day. I might, you know, try to make it more beautiful or something, but I might not try to achieve so much higher than what I do every day that it's going to hinder my playing. So, yes.
Speaking of judges, you have some heavy hitter judges in the piano arts competition, including Robert McDonald and Joel Harrison, and a performance tonight by Jose Fagale.
Yes, yes, yes.
That must be a little intimidating.
Well, I'm not in competition this year.
Oh, that's right. You're not competing this year.
Intimidating for me, but if I was in this, though, I've been very intimidated. Yes, you know, every competition you go there is, you know, very sharp ears everywhere. So I try to really not think about that part. You know, I just do what I could best I could do, and I'm sure that's what most people try to aim for as well. So.
Do you ever miss a note in a competition?
Of course. I mean, it's very. we're all human people, and we're all bound to miss something in a way. But
you somehow psychologically have to. It's like almost like figure skating, only maybe less apparent to most people.
Well, yes, but I mean, also it's our job to, you know, try. It's a terrible thing, you know, just to think about note wise. You know, how many notes did I hit right? But I mean, if you must think about that way, then I mean, we try our best, you know, to. Follow the notations, not to miss anything, but yes.
Well, it's said that Beethoven would not get nearly so upset with somebody who missed a note of one of his pieces got the spirit of it wrong.
Yes, I was actually just on the way to here. Actually, I was listening to Andreas Schiff, a famous German pianist. He was talking about, you know, the Hammerklavier Sonata number 29, Beethoven, the greatest of them all.
Yeah, big,
and then
powerful
there is like
sonata.
The opening part is huge leap in the left hand, which I will not show you because if I miss, it will be very embarrassing. But and he was saying how some people, since you're not doing anything with the right hand at that time, you know, they tend to play with two hands. But then he said, you know, Beethoven didn't really have cared less if you miss it or not. It was, you know, that tension and then that feeling of the impossibility that, you know, makes that piece, you know, so what it is. So I was listening to that and I kind of smiled because, you know. It makes sense. So.
We're speaking with Sejun Park, a 19-year-old, already virtuoso pianist. He's live here at Wisconsin Public Radio at our Madison studios, playing our Mason and Hamlin piano. And he performed last Friday as part of Piano Arts, a North American piano competition that's based in Milwaukee. There are two more performances left in the Piano Arts series, and one is tonight featuring Jose Fagale. That's in recital at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield. And then tomorrow night is the finals and the awards concert, and the finalists will perform complete concertos with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra and Piano Arts Music Director Andrew Sills.
So are you pretty much on the circuit now where you're constantly traveling as so many young performers are?
Well, no, not really as much as I would like to. I mean, I do travel here and there, but this year I was fortunate enough to win this competition, so it did give me a lot of excuses to get out of school and go play somewhere else. But yes.
Are you at university or are you?
Yes, I'm in Peabody Conservatory of Music in Baltimore.
And who are you studying with?
His name is Boris Husky. But I studied with him before I went to college. So technically, this is almost our sixth year.
Oh.
Wow, that's a great continuity. That's like 35% of your life or something to have that same teacher. That's great. Well, you know, we've been dwelling on the Romantic era, and it is hard to get out of sometimes. But one of the great Romantic composers who, I guess, was the first Russian composer to be an international phenomenon was Mikhail Glinka.
Mm-hmm. This piece is very... It's a lark, and for a while I didn't know what this song was actually about. And then I looked it up, I came across it on a website once, and it's based on a song that Glinka wrote it's in the field somewhere. This is a lover just looking for the partner, the lost partner, and because he or she is singing to the lark that's flying by to send their love to their partner. And, it's such a beautiful song that I wish I could sing it, but I think it will, make people turn off their radio, so I won't do that.
It's a song by Glinka and then transcribed by...
Another Russian composer, Balakirev, who wrote many, very scary piano pieces.
Scary indeed.
Yes.
So let's hear The Lark. Thank you. Oh, what a beautifully evocative piece.
Thank you.
The Lark, based on a song by Glinka and a transcription by Balakirev.
Yes. Balakirev managed to make it about as hard as Islamay by the sound of it.
Of course.
Boy, that is just stunning. What a lovely piece.
Thank you.
Sejun Park is the pianist.
And in about 18 minutes, the results of our quiz question. I suppose we could ask that question again before we get
one
into
more
something
time.
Just as romantic as what we've been hearing. And that question today was, what singer rescued Robert and Clara Schumann from financial disaster by volunteering to perform at one of their concerts? That's the question today, and you can answer it the usual way by calling 1-800-442-7106. You'll be talking to Angie.
And email will not work today, but we'll take those phone calls right up until a few minutes before one. I would say give it 3 or 4 minutes because Angie will come into the studio here and might take a little bit longer than usual.
Is there anything that makes Franz Liszt's music any tougher than anyone else's? It's just so big and outgoing, so much of it.
Yes. In a way, it doesn't require much, you know, brain work as, you know, Schoenberg or Beethoven or Bach or so forth, but you do have more notes to play, you know, and just the pure physical, you know, it's almost like an athletic event where you just, you know, they, you know, shoot the gun and you start running. It's almost the same thing. But
muscular.
Yeah, it's very muscular activity. And, you know, Liszt, you know, had a phenomenal technique. So for him, you know, it was nothing. You know, he was doing that purely to impress people. But for, you know, for a lot of us who, you know, aren't Franz Liszt, you know, we have to sometimes work for it. But it's very fun. And yes, so.
He would come in and make a point of throwing his gloves down
before
he sat at the piano and then let loose with, you know, say, one of his Hungarian rhapsodies.
Yes, with his hair, you know, flying everywhere and things.
So it's radio. You can imagine that if you want, or you can think of it more the way it really is. But the music, I suspect, will be pretty razzle-dazzle anyway. Are you going to play number 13?
Yes, and it's a transcription, actually, by Voldus. And Voldus is a very, you know, accomplished piano alive these days, and I just love what he does. And he transcribed number 13, so he actually made it harder even than it actually is. And I don't know, I'm supposed to hate him for that, or I'm supposed to love him for doing that. I don't know, but you know, I do enjoy it, so I guess, yeah, it's kind of in a love-hate relationship right now.
Hungarian Rhapsody number 13 by Liszt, with some exaggeration, you might say.
Thank you.
Well, we were watching. There was just one pianist there and one piano, the value of which I think just went up. Sejun Park was there with an arrangement, what would you call it, an enhancement, an enlargement of the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody No. 13. Wow. Dazzling.
My goodness.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. The piano was literally vibrating, and you're right, talk about muscularity, physicality.
Yes, I just felt like I just ran a mile or something.
I can understand that easily. Your fingers probably didn't go that far. How do you tackle a piece like that? Where do you begin?
Well, you know, it's very basic. First you learn the notes, but then... Yes, just learn the notes first. But then the thing is that with Liszt's music, for some reason, for me, the music, like the complicated, it's not so complicated. So I don't have to try to make it so, I don't need to put so much thought to it because you know, it's already like a gypsy music, Hungarian music. You know how it goes and you just kind of feel it while you play it and it comes. And so it's just purely, for me, it's just the almost technical things that I need to work on this piece, and which are quite could be hard sometimes.
I would think so.
Yes.
Do you think about staying in shape for piano? I mean, do you actually do any exercises above and beyond?
Well,
playing?
Yes, I actually do. Even though I've been kind of slacking off the past couple of weeks, but I do. I do regularly jog. I do sit-ups. I think because someone told me that, you know, having the muscle in the front is very important to sit up straight and everything. So I did that. And for some reason, at some point last year, I thought it would be nice to do yoga. So I even did a yoga last year. And so.
Do you think that helps your playing?
Yoga?
Or any of it?
Exercise. Yes, it does. Because, your body is, used to undergoing to stress, I guess, through, you know, so, plus, you know, after you practice, you know, you've been sitting in the room all day, and sometimes you just feel like you want to, you know, just go jump around everywhere, so, for me, you know,
loosen up a little.
Yes, yeah. I go running around, which is, you know, I enjoy it a lot, so that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if I think we have time for one more piece, maybe more modern, something, say, by Scriabin?
Yes, I mean, you say it's modern, but you know, he wrote it when he was young, and I could be wrong, but I believe he wrote it when he was around 14, but I could be wrong. But I know I was listening to this radio, and he said, well, the announcer said, oh, this, you know, he wrote it when he was 14 or something like that, and I was so astounded because this is early Scriabin, where it's very, you know, he's still, you know, trying to take the model after Chopin and everything.
He
and
was inspired by Chopin.
Yeah, so it's very romantic, but at the same time, the level of emotion that he creates through this piece is just astounding for someone as young in his age to write this. So, but later in his life, he went crazy, so he wrote all these crazy pieces. But just in his early ages, I mean, this is so, you know, was so romantic but beautiful and emotional. So,
what's the name of the piece?
It's an etude in Opus 2, I believe. It's a C sharp minor, and it's just a wonderful short little etude.
Great. Our pianist, Sejun Park.
Thank you.
an etude by Scriabin, performed by our guest here on the midday, pianist Sejun Park.
And I'd say that would definitely qualify as the romantic Scriabin.
Yes.
But exciting stuff for a 14-year-old, just as we've had a lot of exciting stuff from a 19-year-old during this hour. I kind of wonder what you'll sound like in another, you know, 10 years. Could be quite something, but we hope to hear you before that.
If you want to follow Sejun Park, his name is spelled Sejoonpark. You can do a web search and find his bio. And are you on the web? Do you have a website?
Yes. Actually, there's a video of me on YouTube that was a promotional for Piano Arts. And, you know, I liked that video. But there's one part where in my... I guess I was just too excited, so my English is my second language, so my grammar just went crazy. So at some point I said, "He shuts the bunny." and then my friends, a lot of my friends see it, and then they all make fun of me. It's like, you know, so who shuts the bunny?
Sounds like high school.
I would say maybe the piano is your second language, if not the first. And it's been a treat to have you with us today, Sejun Park, and we'll look forward to you coming back soon.
Hopefully. Thank you.
We post these interviews on our website at wpr.org/midday if you want to share this with a friend. It'll be up a little bit later. And Piano Arts continues this week with a performance tonight by Jose Fagali. And then tomorrow night is the big finals and awards concert. You can find information at pianoarts.org.